Welcome to Even More Mashed Up, a podcast featuring two professors talking about pop culture. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Alan. And today, we're going to talk television.
Yes.
And we're going to go back to, for longtime listeners,
yes.
Kind of a treat.
Deep in the misty past of the show.
The ancient past yeah. of the Even More Mashed Up
yes,
podcast.
Yes, all five episodes ago.
Also, I'm Rich.
Oh, is Rich here?
Oh, is Richard here?
I figured, yeah. You know, we should introduce me, you know, 20 minutes in. When they're like, oh, some guy walked in.
That was kind of the plan, Rich.
Yeah, kind of
oh, okay.
So Rich is hanging on today.
Yes, barely.
Yeah, but he's a hanger-oner. So
he's
we
a
thought early in the show's history, we did a show where we talked about sort of our excitement level for the upcoming superhero
yes,
television
by
season.
Early, our very first episode.
That's right. And I remember you being very enthusiastic and optimistic about where this new season was going to take us.
Well, about one particular show, yes.
Right. And so then we thought maybe we would review,
yes.
Long story short, it ain't been pretty.
Hmm.
And then talk about maybe some options that you know listeners might have.
Right. Yeah. Well, some of the new slate of TV shows that
right.
have debuted, like, kind of giving our opinion on each of them.
What's out there?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's review.
Yes.
All right. So when we ran the list last time,
mm-hmm.
We kind of agreed on the top and the bottom, right?
Pretty much, I
More
think.
More or
yes.
less. I had Arrow number one.
We did not agree on that. No, Arrow was at my bottom.
Is it your bottom?
No, it's near the bottom.
Okay, but you will admit, now that you've seen the seasons begin, Arrow's a solid number two.
No.
Supergirl 1.
Yes.
Arrow 2.
No.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Nope.
Legends, Flash, Gotham.
I'd flip that a bit.
Is it ever going to be
that
anything, like,
a bit? That's not very... So.
Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would be my number two.
Would be your number two.
Would be my number two.
Okay.
And then the rest just kind of gets lumped together into a giant ball of disappointment.
Okay, so let me start with Arrow then, because I think Arrow is better than a giant ball of disappointment.
Yeah.
I think it's perfectly average.
Well, I mean, Arrow is what it is at this point.
Right, exactly, which is not terrible.
No.
Just not great.
No, but it's also kind of circling back a lot to season one.
Agreed.
Which makes me feel like it's retreading a lot of old territory.
I'm not making the argument for Arrow.
Yeah.
When I put Arrow at the top, it's largely because the lack of quality elsewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, now, so it's not that it's good. It's that it's less bad than everything else.
It's kind of like voting in 2016.
Yeah, it pretty much
I'm
is.
Looking for the lesser
yeah,
of six evils.
The superhero slate.
Yes. Yeah. Like
it's not pretty.
There's nobody to vote for.
Well, there's one person to vote for.
Who's that?
The woman. Supergirl.
Well, okay. Supergirl, yes, until I heard Miley Cyrus's critique.
Well, but Miley Cyrus's critique was somewhat incoherent.
It was a little. Surprisingly incoherent for Miley Cyrus.
Really?
I'm not sure. What's going wrong with her?
I mean, she's usually so well, you know.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised at her incoherence.
I often turn to her for political insight.
I think incoherence is her default position.
Yeah. So I should probably quit turning to her.
Yes.
But
yes.
More importantly, what I thought, because I think we can dismiss Arrow immediately as just kind of more of the same.
Yeah, I mean, again, Arrow's in season five. It's fallen into a formula.
I thought Supergirl was actually quite good. I didn't
yes.
watch season one because CBS made me pay for it.
Right.
And I don't believe
that's never going to happen.
Well,
I do not.
It only made you pay for it because you didn't realize that the next week the episodes became free.
I may not have known that. But
until right now, it feels like.
Which is a fault of the advertising department.
Thank you very much.
But yes, but CBS is like the least sort of accessible sort of shows on the web.
So I picked up Supergirl brand new.
Right.
Never having watched Supergirl before. And I really, really enjoyed it.
It's a fun show.
Until I realized that episode one, season two.
Yes.
Is a direct ripoff of Pocahontas.
Okay.
You could take literally the Pocahontas soundtrack,
mm-hmm.
lay it on top. It's the exact same thing.
Now,
which
literally Dan's not buying it.
Now, wait, before you say it, is this like when people said like with Avatar, James Cameron, like that kind of ripoff? Or like, is it more subtle?
No, it's a direct ripoff.
Okay,
like,
so
it's
just
a
like
direct
Avatar,
ripoff
like
in the following way. Kara Danvers has to decide her new career, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
She can pick any job she wants. But Kara can't decide. Like Pocahontas, she's very indecisive about her future. And so in Pocahontas, well, let's start with Kara Danvers, right? On the show, Kat tells her, you need to figure out where you want to swim. Do you want to dive into the placid pool? Do you want to swim in turbulent waters? It's absolutely just around the riverbed.
I want
in
to
Pocahontas,
stay on
see,
right?
Again, I argued against this because I don't think that's what the river
yeah.
around the riverbed
Richard,
is
it turns out, doesn't understand Pocahontas at all. Though, which is okay, Richard, because Pocahontas is very difficult to read.
Though, it's very tricky. Yeah.
It's very subtle and nuanced.
I've seen it 700 times.
What was shocking was that you had clearly like spent some time on this. Richard immediately jumped into the fray with, no, that's not what Pocahontas is. Like, there was no hesitation.
As if he had prepared Pocahontas.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. You have just struck me to my core, good sir.
I understood Lost better than I understood Pocahontas. I'll have you know.
I'm not sure that's true.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. So, so let me be clear. It's a direct ripoff, right? Like just around the river. Do I choose Coquelin and kind of the Placid, or do I take John Smith and the Rapids? And the only reason I know is because I teach it.
Right.
Otherwise, I would not watch Pocahontas.
You also have a daughter. You could probably blame it on Hope too.
Oh, that's true. And Hope.
Yes.
But then when she ultimately decides, she says that she listened with her heart, just like Grandma Willow told her to in the film.
No, so literally, Supergirl. Listen to your heart is like every Disney film ever.
Yeah. Richard, don't harsh the theory because also, I think it's pretty
Could you argue that both of them are
true.
Ripping off Roxette from the 80s with their song, Listen to Your Heart?
Oh, I thought you were going to say She's Got the Look.
No.
She's got the look.
No, I was going with Listen to Your Heart.
Oh, can we get a little Roxette on the program? I bet they would come.
Yeah, I don't think so. We're like the Roxette of podcasts, maybe?
I would say the Hall of Notes, but if you want to put us one step up, I'm okay with that.
That's cold, man.
I know.
So much for getting Supergirl, Daryl or John on the show.
I could see the quality in Supergirl, but the Pocahontas ripoff put me off.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it. I mean, Supergirl, it picked up pretty much exactly right from where it was.
Are you concerned that Superman's there? We talked a little bit about this on the radio show. Yeah. We do the mashup every Monday, 2 to 3, on CougarRadio.net. But we talked a little bit about sort of, does it undermine the feminist message of the show to have Superman playing such a prominent role this year?
So far, no. It seems like the show is pretty aware of that potential.
Excuse me, sir, but they seem to be addressing it. Miley does not agree.
Well, Miley and I disagree on so many things.
Fair.
We rarely find ourselves on the same page these days. So I think the show, it does have, the potential to kind of take away from the girl power message that the show has had.
Right.
Pretty much from day one. But I think they're aware of that, and so they seem to be very, very conscious of that as the show is sort of playing out. So first episode, I'm cautiously optimistic that they're gonna manage it in a way.
Oh, did you just say cautiously optimistic?
Did.
Because that's what you said about Legends of Tomorrow.
It is.
And
that's doomed it.
Yeah. That was a cautious optimism.
Now, Supergirl will not fail me in the way that Legends of Tomorrow continues to do so.
Yeah. Tempt and fate. Yeah.
So let's talk about Legends next, even though it's clearly at the bottom.
Yeah, it's near the bottom because it is.
Is there anything below Gotham? Will anything ever be below Gotham?
I think Gotham's so bad it's my new number one.
Legends of Tomorrow is getting close because one of the things that drove me crazy about the premiere of Legends of Tomorrow was just the number of sort of moments that just happened because they had to happen,
right?
And that were not really like earned in the story, which is the thing with Gotham as well. Is stuff just happens on Gotham because the writers
need it to happen because the plot demands it.
So they're kind of hammered right into place. And Legends of Tomorrow kind of started to fall into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's I kind of miss Hot Girl. Saying just last week I was a barista.
Now we do
I miss that.
Do have a substitute for her,
which is
Haywood. Just last week I was a history professor, and now I'm a time traveler.
Can I say lots of history professors on television nowadays, which is I think a plus.
Oh yeah, oh yes,
it's
I am
plus,
very happy.
But how are they portrayed?
Oh, well, more on that later, Richard. Yeah, we don't want to jump. We don't want to jump the gun.
I'm not jumping anything. I just.
But the nice thing is that they do have Haywood there as sort of our Hawk Girl substitute.
Yeah.
That last week I was just a history professor.
There's this weird moment.
And before that I was a booster.
Where Rip Torn, is that his name? The guy that's the...
Rip Hunter.
There you go.
Rip Torn. Yeah. Like the worst wrestler ever.
Actually, I'm pretty sure. Isn't Rip Torn an actor?
He was, right?
Yeah, he was in Men in Black. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not a wrestler.
Yeah, but thank you for that contribution, Richard.
Yeah.
Richard's role on the show, more or less, just making stuff up.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know that Richard
Torn ran for president in 1968 before becoming
Richard
a professional
knows
wrestler.
Knows very thank little Richard. About professional wrestling. Knowledge of Pocahontas, broad and deep.
You know, I focus on the important stuff in life.
Yeah.
It's been a rough week for
Richard.
Richard.
Yeah.
It's only Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
It's not going to get better.
Yeah. So
like somebody just punched him in the face.
Yeah, pretty much.
And kept on kicking.
And kept on kicking. Yeah. No.
Again.
Oh,
we should. Yeah, we need to move on.
Yeah, back to.
There's this moment where Rip sends the has to disperse the team to different times. And so you're thinking, oh, this could be an interesting sort of 5 or 6 episode arc.
Oh, yeah.
Where they go and collect the various characters.
Yeah.
No, it literally takes them 4 minutes.
Yeah, no, it was a 5 or 6 minute arc.
By the way, have you noticed that Sarah Lance likes girls?
I picked up on that. It was very subtle.
It seems like they're really desperate for ratings.
That was the only
right?
That was the part of the show I enjoyed because, you know, if they had the continuing time traveling lesbian adventures of White Canary, that would be a fantastic premise for the show.
I disagree because it's pretty one note.
It is.
You know, she starts with the Queen of France.
Yes.
And she ends with innocent Salem maidens.
Yeah, well, not so innocent.
But not when she's through with them. Now, I will admit, like, the wink she gives the girl in Salem as she's being led to her witch.
Her burning,
yeah. Like, not a terrible touch, but it just feels overdone and trying too hard.
Well, and again, like everything on Legends of Tomorrow, it's not done with any kind of subtlety or it's just kind of, you know, just shoved right in your face.
So do you want to tell me now or do you want to save it for the end of the show?
What? Where I say that you were right?
Exactly. That is the moment that I've been waiting for.
If by end of the show you mean the slow heat death of the universe that will cause this show to end, I will totally tell you you were right then.
All
right.
So you want to admit that I was right?
No.
Come on. You're not.
No. You asked if I want to admit that you were right. And my answer is categorically, no, I do not
but
want
now
to admit
you,
that.
You should say that.
I don't think I should.
You may have already said it.
I don't think I have.
Maybe. It's like mean apologies. You know, there's a lot of things I should apologize for, but I won't.
Yeah.
Indeed. We learned that on the radio show yesterday.
Yeah, there are a number of things that Richard
things we can't talk
for.
About even on a podcast.
No.
That people ought to be listening to the radio show for.
So now why are you so hard on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I'm not really hard on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's near the top of my list.
Mm-hmm.
It might even be a nudge past Arrow.
Okay. Which put it, what, at number 2?
Yeah.
Okay. So we would agree on our top 2 then.
Yeah, I think so. To me, S.H.I.E.L.D. is still trying to figure out who it is.
Okay.
You know, it's no longer kind of a spy thing. It's not so much an Inhuman thing, although the Inhumans are still there, but now it's sort of a supernatural.
Yeah.
And clearly they got to shoehorn in the supernatural because Doctor Strange is coming.
Right.
So we got to get the universe in sync so we can pretend like television matters.
Yeah.
In the Marvel
you mean the
cinematic
in the Marvel universe,
which it doesn't, right? It clearly is a deep afterthought.
No. Television responds to the movies, but the movies so far have had no response or connection to the television
We
shows.
Talked about Luke Cage last week.
Yeah.
Luke Cage, way better at integrating with the Marvel universe.
Oh, yeah.
Not in a way that Luke Cage is ever going to matter, probably, on the big screen.
Right.
But it felt pretty authentic, whereas S.H.I.E.L.D. often feels forced.
Well, and S.H.I.E.L.D. for some reason feels limited because of its connections to the Marvel Cinematic Universe in a way that Luke Cage...
Absolutely.
And I would say the other shows, to a certain extent, don't.
Absolutely.
It's just kind of a weird thing.
I imagine this moment when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. first hit the air, when all the people on the television show really thought to themselves, I'm going to make it to the big screen.
No.
Like, you know, like this is going to be my pathway to Robert Downey Jr. and Hemsworth, and I'm going to hang out with these guys. I'm going to be a big star.
Yeah.
And it was literally like the third episode, and they said to themselves, clearly this is not going to get
We can get Lady Sif, and that's about as close to the movies as we
Right, but
get.
Only, she's going to come kind of slum with us for an episode. We're not going to get to go into the Thor movie.
No.
Like, not even the Thor movie.
No.
Like, at this point, they're even like, man, even Ant-Man.
No.
not even
Ant-Man. Please, can we have Ant-Man?
Right, like, just come on.
Well, they're not even going to be in, well, if they still do the Inhumans movie, they're not going to be in the Inhumans movie.
Well, the fact that the Inhumans movie has been moved back, right?
Yes.
I think kind of suggests that Marvel's like, we can't do a movie because now we've got Inhumans on the television.
Right. Well, and the Inhumans are never a good idea for a movie anyway. So.
No, I agree. So my biggest complaint with S.H.I.E.L.D. is the complaint I have with all pop culture. We talked about it last week.
Oh.
The anti-vegan agenda.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that in the United States of America, the last people we can pick on are vegans?
That's not fair. We can also pick on Quakers.
And academics.
Oh, yes.
It's true, and academics. But
particularly historians.
Those all fall
which would make
on
historian
me.
Quaker vegans like the ultimate target.
Right. Yeah. This is my point. I feel like
it's what we're leading up to all our
that
lives.
Pop culture has been building for 50 years to the point where the only person it can still make fun of is me.
Yes.
Right.
It is all about you.
But this idea that Yo-Yo went to L.A. and it corrupted her by, number one, making her like Inhumans.
Right.
And number two, making her a vegan.
Right. But again,
come on, people.
Again, it's clear in that episode that the woman saying that is in the wrong. And so you cannot take her position as the moral sort of center of the show.
This is your standard overly academic, over-analyzing stuff.
I'm over-analyzing from the guy who feels Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a personal attack against his very being.
Well,
I'm the one that's over-analyzing.
All right, one happened and one is theory.
Okay.
You're trying to explain away the anti-vegan agenda.
I'm not.
I don't understand.
I feel like, you might be overly sensitive to the anti-vegan agenda. I don't hate vegans.
I clearly do.
Some of my best friends are vegan.
Thank you.
Some of my best friends are vegans.
Really?
And Quakers and historians.
You should bring them on the show.
I do. I've got pictures of myself with them.
Anyway, so the anti-vegan agenda's got to go.
All right.
It has to go. Scarf last week.
But what's going to replace it? What can we make fun of? We need something.
How about people from Portland? Like, isn't it time to make fun of pretentious hipsters?
No, Portland's cool.
What? Yeah, I know, but hasn't it been on so long it's time for us to hate it?
Yeah.
That's how pop culture works. If I know
Portland's
one thing,
too cool.
We build people up so that we can hate them more.
You can't make fun of Portland.
And we hate them
so
more
so that means
so
at some point then we have to...
So.
Vegans were built up beforehand.
Would you like to talk about Flash now?
Yes. Could we? Because I've got serious problems. Because
I know your rage at the failures of superhero television sort of crystallized in the form of The Flash.
The apex of the failure of superhero pop culture is probably the one that everybody talks about most positively.
Right.
Flash, which is the worst show on television because it stars the worst human being that I've ever seen on television.
Barry Allen.
Yes, and that they pretend to make him a hero.
He is pretty awful. Well, this season in particular has kind of driven the point home that he is pretty awful.
Yeah, so here's my question.
Okay.
So Barry, as the season begins, has the reverse Flash. It is the reverse Flash, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't keep track of all the evil speedsters and which one's which.
Like, reverse
Flash.
Is it
Zoom, or is it Rip Torn, or is it reverse Flash?
Like, yeah.
Hard to say.
It's reverse Flash.
It's reverse Flash.
I can guarantee you it was not Rip Torn.
So Barry has like...
You don't know that for sure.
Barry has an entry-level detective job, right?
No, he's a CSI.
Okay, so he's not making a lot of money.
Making a decent amount of money.
What's he making?
I don't know.
$40,000?
Yeah, it sounds about right.
So he's making $50,000 before taxes?
No, $40,000. His salary's $40,000. Let's not worry about the taxes, Richard.
Okay. Yeah.
He's making about $40,000.
All right.
He's rented a warehouse, and he's bought a glass cube. Stop.
It's clearly an abandoned warehouse.
He's bought a glass cube that neutralizes speed powers.
Yes.
Which I don't know what you'd
find.
It's got
to be expensive.
But I don't even know where you'd find that, too. Like,
exactly.
That's not on
eBay. No. I mean, he was in one of those cages on Earth, too. So he clearly was able to analyze the material and then find it on his own Earth.
And build it from... Now, so my point
is... Is that how that works?
He's got super speed.
How does he afford this?
Well, number one, it's an abandoned warehouse, so he's squatting than anything else.
He's paying rent.
Did you look at that place? It is dilapidated.
Let's assume it's abandoned.
It's waterfront.
Let's assume it's abandoned. That's your jail, so to speak. You know, like a place anybody could walk in.
But see, that just adds to your point, because what is the most classic supervillain lair but an abandoned warehouse?
Fair point.
I'll give you that much.
So let me move on. And here's what really bothered me. Mm-hmm. And we tried to sort it out on the radio show. But
yes.
I know Dan's a fan, right? So maybe he can explain this to me. So Barry goes back in time.
Yes.
As I understand, because he drew it on the board, so I'd understand it, where he drew literally a line across the board, and then he said, I changed the timeline, and he drew another line coming off it. I'm like,
Much like Doc Brown.
Thank you, Barry.
Then he drew a third line.
Yes. Now I understand. Right?
Yes.
So he went back
in time.
I do love
your metaphors for time travel.
Yeah.
did you like Jay Garrick's coffee mug?
That was my favorite
moment at the end. I'm like, yet another metaphor for time travel.
Can I just say this at least?
You crack the mug?
At least it wasn't a piece of paper.
I know.
Because it's all about a piece of paper now.
Yeah.
So he goes back in time and he saves his mom's life.
Mm-hmm.
And then he takes the reverse Flash
and
runs him back to the present.
Yes.
Okay. Where he jails him.
Yes.
And then he starts living with his parents.
Correctamundo.
So where is baby Barry?
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Barry that was saved that night and then grew up in that world, right?
Barry replaced him.
So
in the time stream.
But where did he? Is Dan going to draw something on the board?
Dan, I think needs a bone
in my mind. Oh, okay. So I don't understand. Like, did he murder baby Barry?
Like, no, he wiped him out of the time stream just like he did Diggle's daughter.
But Barry, the bad guy, mm-hmm. Barry, should be the one that disappears. So, right, because he no longer exists because Baby Barry is Barry.
Yes.
So oddly, this is a conversation I had just this past week trying to figure out where is Baby Barry. Because in the first season, the first three times we see Flash remember or go back, Baby Barry is physically present in the room when the Reverse Flash kills his mom and Flash attempts to stop him.
Right. Yep.
In season two forward, there is no Baby Barry. And so in all of the flashbacks. And so I think for the show, the idea was we would forget, much like we tend to forget children of the 80s and 90s on television ever existed, because they just get written out of the show.
If only we could.
If only we could.
But forget children actors.
But I think that's what they're trying to do is sort of, but they've realized they've made this mistake. Because ideally, in that room, you've got three Barrys.
Well, no, because at one point Barry, when he was in the room, was grabbed by the Flash and taken somewhere else.
Right, and so I think that's the other argument is that all this happens after that happened.
Yeah,
right.
But Baby Barry's still alive.
Yeah, he should be technically alive.
So where does he go?
And so I'm convinced that he's locked in a glass cube somewhere we can't see either.
Because you know that's the Flash solution, right? Like
he kidnaps people. You know where that's the whole joke in the first episode of season three is he kidnaps folks.
Right. Well, all the bad guys are literally thrown into cubes in solitary confinement without any kind of due process.
All I got to know is that in this new universe, the plexiglass manufacturers must be making a killing.
This is very true. Maybe Barry, that's the big thing.
Because Barry just keeps, you know, putting in order. Yeah, hey, this is Barry. I need another one.
But no, I think that's one of the plot holes that they have to figure out is the idea that if he went back in time and post putting Baby Barry in a box or in a corner. Nobody puts Baby in a corner.
No, you never put Baby Barry in a corner.
There's Baby Barry in a corner somewhere. Because he stayed, he's erased Baby Barry's version of himself, which is impossible because then technically future Barry doesn't exist because Baby Barry is gone.
Because Baby Barry had to grow up for like 20 years, right? Like,
they've written themselves into a potential crisis.
And crisis of infinite television sets?
Crisis of infinite shows or infinite incompetence.
The only thing that made The Flash worse for me is on episode two, he visits Felicity.
Yes.
From Arrow. And Felicity says, everyone likes Barry. And I'm looking around like, no.
Nobody likes
Barry has literally ruined everybody's life.
Pretty much.
So he could have 3 months with his mom.
No, and also so he could keep his powers.
And he's sitting there with the most obnoxious smile on his face, talking to his parents at the table. Mm-hmm. He's like, this has been the greatest time. And I'm like, look what you've done to achieve that. Like, it is, you could not write a more selfish character.
No.
And then Felicity says, everybody loves him. And he's just like pudding.
Yes.
Which raised a question for me. Do you like pudding?
Oh, I love pudding.
What's your favorite kind of... No, Dan. Dan's no. Richard?
Well, are we talking pudding, the British one? Or like,
what do you mean? Pudding? You've got to be kidding me.
Well, what kind of pudding are we talking about? Are we talking about British pudding or American pudding?
Is it pudding that Bill Cosby sells or pudding that Bill Cosby doesn't sell?
No, I do not like that pudding.
You're not going to do your Bill Cosby impression.
That is I used to like that pudding. I don't anymore for reasons that I will not get into, but should be obvious to everyone.
Yes,
but I do like pudding.
So anyway, I do not like pudding.
I'm split on pudding. Vanilla pudding, I love it. Chocolate pudding, don't want it.
Oh God, no! Vanilla's gross. Chocolate's the best.
No vanilla. Why is vanilla such an underappreciated flavor?
I like vanilla. I just don't like vanilla pudding.
But people badmouth vanilla. It's like, oh, it's a vanilla story.
Yes.
Vanilla's better than chocolate.
No, it's not.
Way better than butterscotch.
I'll give you that.
Yeah,
name a better flavor than vanilla.
Chocolate.
Not chocolate.
I
maybe
chocolate.
Cinnamon, but you can't do cinnamon pudding. That sounds
that
sounds
really disgusting, yeah.
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 Now, do you like your pudding frozen? Do you like a pudding pop?
I don't think I've ever had a pudding pop.
No way.
No.
Pudding pops were weird because they had like that thin veneer of ice over them. Like, so like it takes a while to get any actual pudding flavor.
Yeah, it's like when you put something in the freezer the wrong way, so it's got like almost a frost on it. And it's not enjoyable at all.
I wonder if they sell pudding in the cafeteria. I'm kind of hungry.
I don't think they've ever had pudding in the cafeteria.
It's probably not vegan pudding.
God, no.
No.
I'm pretty sure it's like purposely not vegan.
Yeah. Or sometimes they label it vegan here, and it's like, it's shrimp pudding.
Yeah. That sounds really disgusting.
Anyway, got me thinking about pudding.
Yeah, apparently.
So, but that's all I got on The Flash.
So anything else on – what about Gotham? We probably need to move on to the new shows.
We should, but Gotham
But we haven't talked about Gotham. Is Gotham.
It is. I like that when Penguin was running for mayor, his slogan was, make Gotham safe again.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because they are very subtle.
Oh, yeah.
And nuanced.
Well, particularly when, well, there's also the news report where they talked about the critique of Penguin's campaign is that he's running on a campaign of fear.
Name-calling and fear-mongering.
Fear-mongering. Actually, yes, and I'm like, wow.
Wow.
That is, plus, could he not look more orange all of a sudden?
Why does the penguin look orange?
Yeah,
now?
It's just
well, orange,
it's so...
and a little bloaty. Actually, if you think about it, like,
he's not
a
looking
bloaty
good.
And orange, and
yeah.
You know what I don't need from Gotham?
Political commentary.
Same thing I don't need from Miley Cyrus. I don't need to be told how to think about the world or to understand.
Yeah,
it.
No, it's well, and then of course they have
Donald
him win.
Trump is a bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna. That's why people don't like him.
I'm gonna have to think about
also,
this one.
Also, I like the news report. He's
complicated.
Like, former mob boss and accused murderer Penguin is leading in the polls. And I'm like, how? Number one,
you know how? Because the plot demands it.
Well, number one, didn't they just get rid of a mayor that was, like, secretly a supervillain? I'm like, I'm pretty sure they're not, you know, Penguin's slogan is not more of the same.
Yeah, but Penguin helped to kill Gallivant.
Did you
so
like
maybe that makes him better supervillain?
No, because he didn't actually do it, because Gordon did. Not, you know, not that he's plagued by that anymore.
Well, it's okay, because
he's a bounty hunter.
I was going to say, he's
just
not a cop anymore.
Money.
Yeah.
I do it for money.
I'm doing it for money. I drink.
For money.
Yeah. Yeah, Gotham.
Yeah, it is...
Yeah. But also, I'm pretty sure that, you know, the fact that the mayor is a former inmate of Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
Is probably the kind of thing you would expect to come back and haunt him.
His chief of staff is a
former. Yeah.
You'd think it'd almost be like not, he wouldn't even be allowed to run. Like,
yeah, I'm pretty sure there's any number of things Penguin has done that disqualify him.
Yeah. So Gotham is still Gotham.
So if
superhero television is no good.
Except for Supergirl and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And sort of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. And Gotham, if you want to just revel in,
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you
want to, I'm past the point where I can revel in the ugh.
I kind of it's wearing a little bit on me.
Yeah,
there's only so much you can take.
Well, Legends, and because Gotham has worn me down so much, I'm not sure how much Legends of Tomorrow I can take either.
Yeah, there's going to come a point where I think I quit watching Legends of Tomorrow. There's too much television to watch for this stupid podcast.
Yes, it's not a stupid podcast.
I mean, this excellent podcast.
This horrible.
does not help with promotion or tenure in any way, but I continue to waste ridiculous amounts of time on it.
Like, number one, you
as
have
do
tenure.
We all.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure it would help either way.
Well, there's still
also
like
do not
review,
anger the
you know?
Podcast.
Yeah.
It might help you lose tenure.
That it could do, actually. So we should talk about some of the new shows that we're watching.
Right. So on the radio show, we've been doing new TV tryouts.
Yes.
So we thought we'd run three new television shows past the listeners today to see, you know, like what might be out there to replace.
Yes.
Kind of the dreck that is superhero television.
Correct.
Right now.
Should we start with Designated Survivor?
Let's start with Designated Survivor.
Good, because I hate this show.
You hate it. I find it to be kind of meh.
No. This show is personally insulting to me.
Can I say something real quickly?
What?
I was driving to Philly
mm-hmm.
Sunday to go see a Philadelphia Union soccer match.
Right.
And I was listening to the NPR Pop Culture Hour.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to pick shows that they thought would be really successful this year.
Right.
And one of the contributors picked
Designated Survivor
and really sang its praises.
No.
And I had a hard time understanding it. So
no.
Talk to me about your personal insult, then I'll talk to you about what's really
wrong. Well, it's very simple because, you know, they've the one senator that survived. Sorry, that did not come out well.
Wow, wait, was that Richard?
Did he live?
That was me.
Right. No.
The one senator that survived the bomb blast.
Yes.
Not the female one, but the
not
one
the
that was
designated
buried.
Senate
right.
survivor, but
the guy
disappeared from his chair.
Yeah, Peter McLeod. Yeah, and who is clearly evil. Like, clearly they're kind of setting up that he's sort of a villain,
he's
a liar.
I don't think
no,
so.
No, he's not a vegan.
Not yet.
He's the senator. Yeah. Yeah, he's the senator from Oregon, though.
Oh, you can't trust Oregonians.
So, you know, because I'm watching the show and they're talking to his wife, and the wife is like, we were in Eugene. I'm like, oh, no.
Wait, so stop.
We did not just make the evil senator from Oregon.
Wait. He just happens to be from Oregon, and so now all of a sudden you're offended. But
this show,
like,
yes.
There is a litany of anti-vegan stuff on television. Doesn't bother you.
I'm not a vegan. I am from Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with.
Now I realize that being from Oregon means
so
there's like a 90%
if you're the one being oppressed.
Pretty much how it works.
Welcome to 21st century America.
Now I realize that my being from Oregon means that there's like an 85% chance I am vegan because that's Oregon.
And or evil.
And
pretty
Portland
clear you're
in particular.
Not vegan.
But I'm not a vegan.
I've bought many a.
But
many
yeah,
a
so
China
yeah,
King
so Designated Survivor is dead to me because of their anti-Oregon agenda.
Rich, is there any way we could get China King to sponsor the show because they're.
Where
tofu?
Did that come from?
I don't know.
You're talking about eating vegan, and I was thinking about all the dinners I've bought for you at China King.
Yes.
Were
and
they
I thought
vegan?
If we're talking China King, maybe.
Were you secretly trying to make him vegan this whole time?
No, no, he always gets the chicken.
Yeah, they always order the chicken for me.
Yeah, always gets the chicken. And if the lobster rolls or whatever come.
Or whatever, yeah, whenever they give you the rolls that you guys can't eat, yeah.
Now, I started liking Designated Survivor because the Kirkman family is exactly the Austin family.
It is,
right?
Well,
President Kirkman, here's the he is me. He burns pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
He's an academic.
Mm-hmm.
He's never, quote unquote, done anything.
Correct.
I'm like, that whoa, is, wait a minute.
That
like,
is all you.
If he were vegan,
yeah,
he would be me. And the son is such a doppelganger for
he
Bobby.
He is. Like, the first time that son showed up, I'm like, whoa. Yeah.
Except for, I hope, like, the selling drug.
Yeah, the part, MDMA that, selling habit.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Hopefully that's not.
He's a little whinier than Bobby, too.
Yeah, he's a whiny
he
kid.
He is kind
he's
of.
Like, oh, come on. I know everybody just got killed in the government, but can I go to the club tonight?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost complete anarchy
and, like,
outside,
he's
but come
a little
on.
Too whiny. The daughter is a little too adorable.
Yeah, yeah, and the wife is a little too cardboard.
And also potentially evil.
I'm not buying the evil anymore.
I don't
know
trust
you
her.
Spun
I'll admit
the theory
that'd be a fantastic
that she was
twist.
Part
yeah.
of
I
the,
would
like,
just that first episode where she just kept saying, just remember, I'm totally on your
yeah.
side. Like, it just,
you are,
oh,
I,
yeah.
yeah.
There's something about her.
I know that she rubs you the wrong way. I think it's because it's a really undeveloped character.
Well, there's also that, too.
Yeah, I just don't think she's where you're going to be.
Possible.
Richard, did you have something?
No, I was saying I was saying that'd be the one a fantastic twist, and I can kind of see like almost because it'd be such a great twist that they would do that.
Oh,
you know,
I'd like to recant my position now that Richard has agreed with me.
Now that Richard has joined your position,
yeah, yeah. I mean, my position has now become suspect
because you watched him get destroyed on Pocahontas yesterday.
Yes,
you
I
don't want to watch.
I watched
I
him
did
get
not
destroyed
get destroyed
him.
On Pocahontas.
You got, yeah, you.
Yes.
I grudgingly admitted.
Yeah,
that I should
after
agree
you were
with
destroyed.
You. It wasn't your admission. It was your deep-seated, like, insult at the idea that Pocahontas was being misinterpreted.
Yes.
And your sort of immediate and vociferous defense of the lyrics of Pocahontas.
You know, back to Designated Survivor.
Yes.
Vicky doesn't care for the way in which the female characters don't feel as well-developed as some of the male characters. And I think that might be a fair.
Well, I mean, you've got the, you know, truly deep and trenchant character of the Republican senator.
Right.
Who, you
another
know,
another cardboard cutout.
Who has clearly got a lot of depth.
The FBI agent.
Oh, yeah, the one that her senator boyfriend died in the blast.
She's troubled by her man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, like, it's struggling there. So I've reconfigured the odds a little bit.
Okay.
For whodunit.
Oh, okay.
It's now down to 2-1 for an inside job.
It's obviously an inside
job. It has to be the inside job.
It literally
job,
has
right?
to be an inside
yeah.
job.
Otherwise, but there's no story.
I still have Kirkman's angsty son. In at 20-1, if you
no.
put some money down.
No, he's way too whiny and incompetent. But the dude left his drugs
him?
Like in plain sight. He's clearly not the mastermind
well,
behind the conspiracy.
But then maybe he left the unexploded ordnance on site.
No,
because he's not. Maybe the whole drugs in the underpants drawer
mm-hmm.
was to parallel unexploded ordnance at the Capitol.
Yeah, no.
That's my new theory.
Is
I think it's more
theory?
Likely the son did it than the wife.
I like how.
No.
You
no,
both decided
that's just,
you think
that's
it
just,
has to be his family who's done it.
You know what? It's the daughter.
You know what would be great?
It's the adorable 5-year-old daughter.
If
she
they
is
really
truly evil.
Want to save Designated Survivor from what it is, which is like a C-plus show.
Yes. Well, okay. it's like a lukewarm West Wing.
Right.
Yeah.
If they want to save it, they ought to turn the writing over to us.
Well, so many shows should
we
do that.
We could make
yeah.
something of that show.
We could make something of that. We could make something of Gotham.
Gotham.
I got to tell you, Gotham would be a lot of work. I think we could step right, you and I,
mm-hmm.
tomorrow, could step into Designated Survivor
mm-hmm.
and double viewership in a month.
That is not at all insulting to the people currently producing Designated Survivor.
No. They're doing a fine job.
Ish.
We could just do better.
Yeah. They're doing, you know, fine
Gotham,
job. Not as good as you.
I don't think we could dig ourselves out of Gotham.
I think we could. Oh, no, no. I think. Oh, no. I think we would just turn Gotham into a brush fire. Like, we would just burn it down.
Okay. You would literally have to burn it to the ground.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, I would just. Yeah.
Oh, you mean literally? You mean literally, like, the city is going to burn to the ground.
Yeah,
like,
and the show. Like, it's just going to be James Gordon. I'm a bounty hunter.
I do it for money.
I do it for money.
So
in a warehouse that's on fire as it slowly
yeah.
burns.
So, episode 2 was the touchy-feely, like, we're going to overcome racism.
Yes.
Episode, right? And I found it a little too smarmy.
Yeah.
Like a little too pat, a little too easy.
Yeah.
You know, Seth Wright gets profiled. Seth Wright gets a hug from a cop at the end of the show.
All's good.
Like, bada Americans bing, bada, were all in it together.
Racism is so easy.
We bluffed the Michigan governor into standing down.
Exactly.
Until two episodes later.
I appreciate, like, I appreciate an effort to talk about race in this country. Like, that's worth doing. But, like, when you do it in the way the show did it, it feels really forced, and I'm not sure it's actually advancing our conversation about race.
Well, and that's the thing with Designated Survivor is that everything that happens in the show so far has been pretty pat and predictable.
It's a throwback to the 80s almost, where like there's kind of like there's a moral.
Yeah.
You know, that we're learning, and like we're like in Perfect Strangers.
Mm-hmm.
The music would always come in at the end,
mm-hmm.
and Cousin Larry would kind of deliver the moral.
Yeah.
Oh, like
Balky, I realized that I shouldn't cook Bibby Bobkas so quickly because I was greedy, and greed leads to exploding pastries or whatever.
Wow, that's
exactly what happened.
I don't remember that episode of Perfect Strangers.
If you make Bibby Bobkas too quick, Bibby Bobkas make you sick. No.
No.
Nobody remembers. And then all the cookies explode and the containers that are in.
Are you serious? Is this an episode?
This is a true story.
I take back what I said about your broad and deep knowledge of Pocahontas.
Exactly,
I'd like to reassert that on your knowledge of Perfect Strangers.
Okay.
You know what I think we should do? I think we should do a podcast on Perfect Strangers.
I loved that show.
That show was so good.
I loved that show.
I will say,
I
don't remember it nearly as well as you, apparently.
In its last season, it got really mean. Like it lost its kind of warmth and it became mean. But early on, like when he teaches Balky to drive with a grapefruit, you got Dan literally has the Bibby Bobkas up right now on his phone and they're exploding.
Wow,
it's a ripoff of Lucy.
It's an homage of the.
So wait,
I
is Perfect Strangers ripoff of other shows completely?
I don't know. But today's topic wasn't Perfect Strangers.
No.
You looked very unhappy for a second.
So we should move on then.
Let's move on, yes.
So we decided, so maybe Designated Survivor's not your show.
No, it's fine, but it's not one that if it doesn't get better, it's probably not, staying on the DVR much longer.
So let's talk about something very different. A show that's all about food whores.
What?
Okay, it's Son not all Zorn. About that. That was one line in one episode.
Was that it?
That's all it takes.
Yes.
Son of Zorn is kind of weirdly wonderful.
It's a very sort of out. I mean, it's the kind of show that would have been on Adult Swim.
Again, like you said, Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law.
The pacing and the attitude is all Harvey Birdman.
Yeah, it is.
And I kind of love it. I really love the first couple episodes.
Right.
I'm not sure it's sustainable.
That's the big question.
That to me is the question. Like, but it is way too much. Like the joke. Like there's a Khmer Rouge joke built into the show.
Yes.
Like and that's pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
You didn't care for the Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, right? The scene at the water fountain where the guy says,
"I'm confused.
Water, lots of drops."
Totally. I'm confused by your love for Son of Zorn.
Yes.
Because it is as insulting to vegans and vegetarians as the other shows you hate.
It's true.
Yeah.
Because Alain Guillaume is mocked by Zorn.
It's true.
For his vegetarianism.
Listen, it is true that they mock it, but I can laugh at myself. I just don't like the hateful. There's a difference. Son of Zorn, I feel like he's laughing with me.
No.
Yeah.
He's not laughing with you.
Zorn is definitely laughing at everyone.
No, but in laughing at everyone, we are all laughing with Zorn at Zorn.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's a wee bit of an inconsistency.
You know, really important people took the bus.
Like Rosa Parks.
And Keanu Reeves.
And Keanu Reeves for like an hour, for like an hour and a half.
There is just like a deep irreverence.
We should make clear that that is a quote from the show and not something we ourselves are stating.
That is not the personal opinions of anyone on this podcast.
Speaking of buses, there's just this irreverence to the show that makes it, I think, really, really beautiful.
It is, but the question of sustainability is that I don't know that it's kind of quirky, unique humor and approach is going to appeal to a large audience for a long time. Like it's a pretty high concept show.
Right. But the fact that the fiance is an online professor, like it's got some really, really good moments.
Yes.
Where it bothers me, and this is what offends me more than the veganism, is the way in which pop culture is not only attacking vegans.
Oh, Lord.
But attacking people named Alan.
Oh, yes.
Right. The kid is Alan and he's clearly an oddball.
Clearly.
Well,
and the other
he's an oddball He's kind of lame. He's kind of milquetoast.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
He's an Allen.
Thank you very much.
I was like, are we talking about the show? Or
I think he spells it with one L, though. So
alternatively,
I think
the Taco Bell commercial where Allen is like the hipster at the fondue party.
Oh, yes.
And so, like, there's no good Allens in pop culture anymore.
Well, there's no good Allens. There's
maybe
no good
even
vegans.
More mashed up will change
things.
There's
academics.
No good historians. Like, on every level, it's like your very being is being assaulted.
It's a perfect storm of evil, yeah.
Which means maybe we should move to where my very being is being assaulted, unless you've got more on Zorn.
Nah.
The death of Headbutt Man's kid?
Well, just Headbutt Man.
Yeah.
It's
just, raccoon guy.
Yeah.
It's the Death Hawk at the end of the first episode. And you've got Alan.
Washing the blood.
Like spraying the blood off the. Yeah. Oh, it's just.
It is. It's brilliant. But let's talk about historians.
Yes. Oh, please, can we?
Yes. By talking about Timeless, which is the final show we wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Which stars, you know, you're kind of. I'm tired of historians being stereotyped.
Yes.
Smart and sexy. I'm tired. Like, yeah. You know, not all of us are that way. Just because some of us are,
most of us are.
Yeah.
Most
right.
are.
Yes.
Well, there's truth, right, Richard, in every stereotype. But
sure.
I feel bad for other historians who feel like they have to live up to the beautiful stereotype.
So by that position, there is truth in the stereotype that some vegans are lame.
Well, if we want to go that way, there's truth in the stereotypes, you know, that vegans named Alan... who academics and historians.
There's also some truth
evil.
There.
Sounds
good.
Or that Oregonians are evil.
You know what?
There's a little truth in that,
you're
too.
You're digging
then.
For some taters there.
Hey, you got it right this
I did
time.
Get it right.
On the radio show today, he was
cooking with taters.
Cooking with taters.
Which
we didn't explain why that wouldn't work.
It still totally makes sense.
Took Patrick about 10 minutes to figure
out.
Yes.
However,
yes.
I will once again extend my apology to you.
Yes.
Because Timeless has forced me to reconsider
my
opinion of historians.
Wait, time out. This is not a real apology. I'm warning everybody.
Because I've always said that historians, as the study of history basically boils down to wars and dates.
Yes, that's what I do. I memorize wars and dates.
And Timeless has proved me wrong because it's wars... and dates, and mooring ropes.
Yep.
These
are
the things that historians know.
And the precise times at which things happen. Like,
yes.
But
not important
like,
things. Like, very things you would think would not matter.
The absolute minutiae. She knows everything.
Yeah.
Oh, John Wilkes Booth shows up at the theater to get his mail at precisely 7 a.m.
Yes.
Which,
she knows
how
this.
So
I need to be there.
She didn't study for the mission. She just
she just knows this.
Knows this.
But that's why they need her. Because
same thing
has
with the Hindenburg,
knowledge.
Right? She knows every
she knows,
detail.
You know, they're going to take the mooring ropes down, and then they're going to do something else, and then they're going to do this, and then, you know, yeah, no, the understanding of what historians do,
yeah,
is so
wait,
so.
But what if she knows this because she's already
beautiful?
Been there. She's already traveled through time.
No,
yeah,
you don't think that's a twist of the show?
You mean in the time machine?
Oh, because it looks like an eyeball?
Because it's shaped like a giant eyeball? Yeah. It's a T-I-M machine?
T-I-M.
Yeah.
Yeah.
T-I-M.
Now, if you go I-M, you don't get the I.
T-I-M machine.
There you go. Yeah. T-I-M.
Yeah. Let's keep doing that for 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. So, we need to fill.
But what they get right about the historian is the lecture she's giving, right, before she gets picked up by Homeland Security to travel in the T-I-M machine, right?
She's totally making that happen.
She is working in a studio
mm-hmm.
that's right off a Hollywood lot. Like
it is
like
huge,
sparkling and huge.
Oh, yeah.
It's tiered. All
the students,
have
are wrapped with
seats.
Attention.
Oh, they're laughing at all the professor's jokes.
Yes.
Two, like what? They must be like 30-foot video screens.
Oh, yeah.
To, you know, to present this multimedia. It made me feel really sad when I went to class the next day and I had to pull down my little tiny projector screen. You know, like, here we go, kids.
Here we go, kids.
That's why I got to teach history in Hollywood.
Just like in Timeless.
Yeah.
You know, she's talking about Lyndon Johnson and his...
Johnson.
His Johnson, essentially, you know. Because that's more or less what you focus on when you teach Johnson,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, again...
It's either the Johnson or taking the Harvard guys into the toilet with him.
It's completely... But again, it's completely consistent in that what she knows is the minutiae of history.
Right. Exactly.
You know, for her, history is not one giant, undifferentiated block of time.
You are a tremendous idiot. It is filled with
tiny, tiny details
that are
crucial to know.
A collection of tiny, tiny details.
It is.
But then
and wars
weird.
And dates.
So they totally changed the Hindenburg, spoiler alert.
Yes.
Outcome, right?
Yes.
And
it blew up on the return trip.
Right. But it changes almost nothing in the big national history.
Yep.
totally changes Lucy's life.
Yeah, it wipes out her sister.
Her sister's gone.
Her mother no longer has cancer. Yeah.
Yeah, and she finds out that, well, what she didn't know before.
No, that was after the Lincoln thing. Oh, no, that was after Hindenburg. You're right.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, because they find it out in the second episode, but you're right. But her cell phone number stays the same.
Right.
That's really what's important.
How does that possibly work?
Yeah. You know, so everything else about her life changes, but not her cell phone
number. But she comes back, and she just, so she's changed everything, and she's lived it, but she doesn't remember it.
No. Well, no, because she was in the time stream.
Yeah, but...
Well, all of that happened?
While the changes were made.
So you don't... But wouldn't you then inhabit? Like, so where's baby Lucy?
Lucy?
She's out there with Barry.
Right. So maybe Lucy and Barry are on a honeymoon somewhere.
Like, so...
But again, I think this is the inherent problem with the show is that you're right. Like everyone else, when she gets back from episode 2 with Lincoln, they all know that an unknown assailant is who killed Lincoln.
Yes.
So they have the memories of the new timeline, but she does not have the new memories because she was in the time stream. And I think it's a lame answer, but I think it's the answer.
Oh, but it's your standard answer within time travel type things.
But in the time stream, you remember the original events as they happened for your time stream.
No, that I get.
Because she still has the picture, too.
But then when she comes back, like there's another Lucy who's been living in that time stream,
that means she's separate.
Right.
Well, now, to be fair, but they have not explained the mechanics of time travel on that show in the way that Flash has.
And I think that's the one thing that saves them
Flash
is that
Flash didn't explain it well.
No,
they drew lines on a board.
Dan, you're right.
Hey, lines on a board and a broken coffee cup.
There was a semicircle, I think, at one point in time on that board as well. But no, I think what saves time is that they're ignoring it thus far. They're not dealing with the mechanics of time travel. So all of those questions, which are great questions, don't matter.
They don't matter.
Okay, so maybe that's fair, but I've got another
Timeless has been smart in that unlike Flash, they haven't actually tried to explain the mechanics of the time travel.
And if they're smart, they will never explain
it. Exactly, and that's the problem, is Flash keeps having to re-explain it
Flash has got me thinking about it, and now I'm trying to figure out, how does time travel with any movie or TV?
You know, they pick some random set of rules, and then it's like... Even those rules don't work because
there are two basic fictional time travel theories. Yeah. One is that anytime you travel back in time, you don't change your time. You just create an alternate parallel.
Back to the Future.
Can I tap?
No.
The other one is that
you do go back and change things, but you are not a part of those things.
Yeah. Well.
Or there's a third one where it's like, you know, if you do change them, like you instantly get, you know, so like Looper kind of, you know, where like if
best
someone...
part, Patty Spivak is in both Flash.
Yes.
And Time.
Well, clearly we know where she went when Barry changed
somehow
the timeline.
Somehow she. Yeah, like it's so.
I feel like there's an inevitable
Barry,
timeless
Baby
Flash
Lucy
crossover,
and
where she goes back to
Patty,
stop
like
Flash.
Living in this world.
What if the Legends of Tomorrow have to go back in time and rescue Patty from the alternate timeless universe and bring her back to the Flash? I feel like there's a huge crossover.
I know,
potential.
And then they work together to stop Barry.
They need to turn all of these shows over to us.
They should.
They would become such a nerdy sort of inbred thing.
And I'd like to point out that
an audience of 10 would love it.
That's due to the fact that it was turned over to us,
right?
Not any one particular of us is making it super nerdy.
Exactly. Fair enough.
Make that clear.
But I've got a bigger problem with Timeless.
Okay.
And this is not the minutiae. And like
a bigger problem than its personal insult to you.
Yes.
Okay.
I was more offended by the idea that had they just saved Abraham Lincoln, like race relations would have been totally changed in this country.
Problem solved.
Right? Like it's this myth we tell ourselves about race, that race is like this individual thing.
Yep.
If we go back, like and they all believe, like if I just save Lincoln, the entire racial history of this country is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to think that that's just not true.
Hmm. Are you suggesting that the problems with race in this country are perhaps larger and more structural than who was president?
I believe that may be part of what I'm saying.
Wow.
But, like, playing to this myth, right?
And then, I feel like I'm in the Upside Down.
It's worse than... It's
blowing my mind.
It's worse than the oversimplification...
I finally get those jokes.
But it's worse than the oversimplification of the past.
Mm.
Because it oversimplifies the world we live in today.
Yeah.
Right? It encourages us to think about race in, like, these really overly simplistic ways. Right?
Well, it also
If we just elect Obama... then we can claim we live in a post-racial America.
Well, but it also lets
us
all
save
off
Lincoln,
the hook for the current state. Oh, it's not our fault.
It's Lincoln.
It was Lincoln's assassination.
But that's my point, right? Right. That it's not my fault I voted for Obama.
Right.
Yeah, it's just
No, it's your fault you voted for Nader. That's where you're responsible.
Okay. The Bush election in 2000 came down to Florida, not Ohio, so I am in the clear.
I'm just saying
in return.
It didn't help.
So the point being, I like that Timeless wants to talk about race. Like Rufus talks about it a lot. There's nowhere I can go in the past. That was a great line.
There's no place in American history that's safe for a black man.
Right. He says rich white man history. That's comfortable history, but I can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So I get that's what they want to talk about. But when they want to talk about it by saying, God, if we just saved Lincoln, everything would have been fine.
Yeah.
Then I say, you're doing what Designated Survivor did. You're giving us this really sort of pat, easy answer that lets us off the hook.
Yeah.
Hug a Muslim, you know, save Abraham Lincoln's life. We're good. Well, that's what they both do, right?
Seth Wright gets hugged at the end of Designated Survivor. Sorry, took me to I thought we talked about that 10 minutes ago. I sort of lost that. I think there might have been an interruption in the time stream that caused me to forget that.
Oh, my God. The entire timeline has changed, but only Patrick knows.
Yes, exactly. You didn't say hug a Muslim 10 minutes ago.
You know.
Blew my mind.
I wish I had a brother.
You do have a brother.
No, I don't.
You did.
That's what you changed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do you know what his name was?
Wait, who are you people?
I do know.
Yeah, I know.
I've actually got it in my phone now that I think about it.
Yeah, so drop it. We are running out of time.
Yes.
So I'd like to end on that critique, is that all of this stuff is still refuses to address like real issues, even though they want to pretend they are.
Right.
And in some ways, that's the worst of it. Like the pretense of, but not really.
Well, but they want to address it in a way that still leaves everyone sort of comfortable.
Right. Yes, it's very important that we all feel comfortable.
You know, that they don't alienate the audience, but give them sort of a nice sort
of pat.
But,
like, that's the point of these shows.
You know, that's what sitcoms and soap operas are for. But, Richard,
they pretend like that's the point, right? Like, they pretend like we're on Timeless, we're talking about race.
Yes, and Designated Survivor, we're talking about race.
Episode 2 is dedicated to...
Yeah.
You know, Muslims in the United States post 9/11.
Well, and so episode two of Timeless was dedicated to Lincoln.
And then they dodge it. They duck it and say, we're going to do it, but only in a way that makes us comfortable. Like, you got to be uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah. But it's why Luke Cage, when it came out, was such a big deal, because it made people, like, there are people complaining there weren't enough white people. Clearly, they're uncomfortable.
Right. Good. Right. So, yeah.
You know, so that's good.
I think Luke Cage does a better job of it.
Yeah.
You know what else does a really good job of making people uncomfortable?
Son
15
of
minutes of Even More Mashed Up.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I was trying to wrap things up, but you want to go back to Son of Zorn for reasons that I can't understand.
I couldn't think of it. I assumed you were going somewhere in the context of the show.
I assume you're
going
to take us through the Son of Zorn to a really nice conclusion now.
No, not really.
Really?
Yeah, no.
We were so close. Like,
we were so
like
good.
I had it. Like, we were there.
Yeah. I was on the same page.
And then you're like, Son of Zorn.
We were both. You know who I blame?
Yeah.
I blame Richard.
I blame Richard, too.
Totally.
As do I, as you should.
So
on that
note, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for having us.